15 to 20 million.
Jump.
Oh,
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome, everyone, to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM Radio, which, as you know, serves southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And, of course, if you are on the radio, I encourage you to call a family member, friend, give them an email, text them, and invite them to tune in, because we have a very exciting show planned for all of you today. If you received our announcement this morning announcing the show, just send it out to a family member or friend and let them know that our campaign theme for 2020 is to support American Made First. I'd like to say a special thank you to our panel members who do such a very good job each and every week, and they include Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, who is a national small business advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and also a gentleman who has a show on the radio. Just click on his picture on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Also with us is Curtis Ellis of the American Jobs Alliance, always promoting the American First project for our president and the United States of America. And by the way, if you know of someone, you can invite them to tune in also by going to Alexa 860 AM Radio, because we are part of the iHeart Radio system. You know, joining us today, we have our panel members and we have all of you, and this really is a historic day in American history, and we'll be talking about that in just a few minutes. But I just want to tell everybody who stops me in my travels and emails me and the various community events that I go to, always let me know, wow, why was this not on the agenda of America's officials for 30 years? How did we just let this creep along? We always had an economy that was 70% based on consumer spending. We have been growing businesses now in the United States thanks to new leadership, and people who have businesses in America are going out of their way to promote the fact that they have products made and assembled by American workers in our great country. This is especially important for them to do that because 70% of America's economy is based on you and I going out to purchase products, whether they're household goods or they are clothing and shoes and computers and everything else. This is what adds to our economy, our everyday needs being addressed at the stores and on the internet and wherever you do your shopping. 35 years ago, the majority of the items that Americans purchased were made right here in the United States of America. Go to your closets, take a look at things that you may have or maybe were handed down to you, and you'll really be surprised how much of those have made in the USA labels on them. Today, as people look at the labels, they see large numbers of products for sale in America that were made by foreign workers, giving them a job, then ship them to the United States of America for sale to you and I, bypassing American-based businesses and also American workers. It was very foolishly done by leaders in this country for the last 35 years, and I think we all have to speak up about it. However, with the new focus on the Buy American Made campaign, the tax reductions that have been enacted, the rules and regulations that have been cut, we're seeing that we have reawakened America's spirit of innovation, technology, manufacturing right here in the United States of America. In fact, as I was driving home yesterday, I looked at two billboards, one asking people if they would like to be part of a union where they would train you and bring you in to work for them. Another one said, if you are looking to be part of a great class that will guarantee you a job when you graduate, sign up with so-and-so. That's what it's all about. We're looking to benefit Americans and our future. With 70% of our economy based on consumer spending, I'm urging, I'm pleading with all of you to go out and push the idea of American made so that a growing percentage of the items sold right here in the country we love and need to focus upon reflects the jobs and the skills of American workers. Another way that we can do that is this coming weekend is National Small Business Weekend. It's always the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month. Go out of your way. Go into the stores. Talk to the people and say, hey, I'm a supporter of the Buy American Made campaign. I'm a supporter of National Small Business Weekend. Some businesses know about it. It's growing in some communities where they're having Friday night out, Saturday night out, all weekend events to bring people into the malls, to get them into the business districts. And of course, as spring approaches, that will become even a bigger thing. Now, let's talk about a few things that have been happening in the United States in the last few days. And I wish, by the way, that I could say that the candidates for presidents have been talking about issues that you and I talk about, common sense issues, but they haven't. And now that more and more of them are dropping out, we're really seeing what it's all about. They never, never pushed the American-made campaign, buy American, buy anything. They looked out for everyone else, and here we are. All this time has passed. I will say this also. It's good for America's economy to see how much all these candidates spent. Another dropped out this morning. He took, oh boy, it was either 600 or 700 million was spent trying to promote his campaign. That was great. Look at all the money spent on advertising, media, hotels, staff. Great. It was very great. Others are still out promoting the idea of socialism. And to that, I would just like to say this before I turn to our panel members. And number one is people are saying, Michael, this idea of socialism really bugs me. And I say to people, that's very, I understand, working with a lot of Europeans, I get the message loud and clear. So what I tell them is, what the, Mr. Sanders or whoever else is promoting socialism, what they should do is go out and speak one-to-one to the people who fled from Cuba to America, the people who fled from Eastern Europe, from behind the Iron Curtain, and see what they would recommend. Do they think that the government that they fled, the socialistic communistic government of Cuba and Eastern Europe, which was promoting socialism, was better than the way things are here in the United States in America? It's really time for all of us to start speaking up and be very realistic. Another person spoke to me at length this week and said, Michael, if people, working age and able-bodied people, want Social Security and all the benefits that work brings, they have to be employed. They have to get a job. And in this case, work is not a negative four-letter word. With that, I want to welcome Curtis Ellis. Curtis, tell us everything.
Work is not a four-letter word, indeed.
It's not that four-letter word.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's so good to hear you talk about Made in America. This is something that you and I and so many others have been fighting for decades, and people laughed at us. They said, we don't need to make things here anymore. We have a service economy, and we're just getting cheap stuff from overseas, and we benefit by having lower prices. And now we see, and now more people, it's becoming more clear every day, more people are seeing just how important it is to make things here. I think the people, the everyday people, the plain people, as somebody used to call them, the regular folks, always got that. It's these executives, the Wall Street elites, the big rich elitists that self-servingly would push this line that we don't need to make things here. And now with this coronavirus nonsense, people are realizing that we don't make any of our medicines here, right? It's 80% of penicillin, antibiotics, over-the-counter drugs, things like aspirin, ibuprofen, and a lot of the even prescription drugs that are commonly used, things like blood thinners and other medicines, are made in China. And now there's the FDA has already predicted there will be shortages of drugs. India, where a lot of our generic drugs are made, the drugs that we use in this country are made in India from ingredients made in China. And India has said they're not going to export. They have a whole list of drugs that they are not going to export anymore because of shortages. They want to make sure the Indian people, that their own people, have the drugs they need. Well, we need to make sure that the American people have the drugs they need. And there's one way to do that, and that's to manufacture them here. We used to do that. I grew up in New Jersey, and northern New Jersey. When we go into New York City, we drive by the Hoffman LaRoche plant in Nutley, New Jersey. I said, Mommy, what is that? It smells bad. And they said, that's where they make medicines. Hoffman LaRoche was a big drug maker. I'm sure it's been merged several times, bought out, and has a whole new name. And that factory has closed. That plant has closed. It's gone.
Where would that have been relocated?
Overseas, China.
That's
China.
Right.
Pfizer, P-F-I-Z-E-R, Pfizer, big drug company. They opened their international, their worldwide headquarters for generic drugs. Where do they open that headquarters? Shanghai, China. So, and when companies like that move overseas, they take with them all the jobs for all the subcontractors, all their suppliers, everybody that sold stuff. As we've seen, the drugs themselves, the drug companies, the big brand names, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and all the rest of them that we may know, the names we may know, have 1,000 companies that we don't know the names of working for them and supplying them.
That's
and
correct.
On top of it, right? And these jobs go away. They end up going to China or India. And the people then, the businesses and the companies where the people who worked at all these companies spent their money when they ate or when they bought clothes for their kids for school or school supplies or the dry cleaners, the laundry, all those businesses get hit and get hurt as well. There's a whole ecosystem here. And to me, the big wake-up call that is yet to come, you get it, we get it, the people listening to this show get it, but the policymakers in Washington don't get it, is that small business is the backbone of America, as well as consumer spending, because where do the consumers get to spend? They get it from working at a small business. And I remember when I started, not when I started, but toward the beginning of my journey on this path of Made in America, get rid of the free trade deals that have outsourced everything. One of the first groups I got in touch with was a group called Save American Manufacturing Now, SAM Now. And these were small businesses in Wisconsin and Ohio, across the Great Lakes industrial Midwest. And they were all machine shops, job shops. They made the baskets that were used in the electroplating process. They made stuff that was used to make the parts that went into the things that we have in our homes. So whether it's screws or the machines that make screws or the little you know, fasteners that go into coffee makers on our countertop, or they make the die cast parts that go into automobiles, or they made the heating elements, the high temperature heating elements that are used in the die casting industry to melt the metal that are then molded into the wheel hubs that you see in the fancy cars, right? These companies, these are small businesses. None of them had more than maybe 150 people working for them, and that would be a big one. But they paid well. They were solid. Guaranteed employment, virtually guaranteed, you know, I mean, until the meteor strikes and wipes out the dinosaurs again. These were solid businesses, solid Main Street businesses, supported the town, supported families. And when the Fortune 50 companies decided they were going to start making cars in China or Mexico, making their countertop appliances in China rather than here, they lost their customers, right? They lost their customers, and they went out of business. And it's this whole ecosystem of small businesses and small companies that made America great, that made America prosperous. For every General Motors that you hear about, every Chrysler, every big brand name, there's 1,000 or 10,000 companies beneath them, suppliers beneath them, that are small, privately owned. And it's different working for a privately owned company, working for a small business, than working for a large corporation. If you have a gripe, if you're working for a large corporation, you're just an ant. You're treated like an ant, like a cog in the wheel. You go to the HR department, and the HR department's there, HR, human resources. They're not there to defend you. They're there to defend the corporation. It's like a bureaucratic thing, and the person you're talking to in the HR department is answering to their boss. They're not answering to you. You work for a small business. You talk to the owner. You have a problem. My grandmother's sick. I need to take a couple days off to be with her. Please go. Take care of her. When you go to a local store that's owned locally, the money that you spend there is going to put their kid through college. It's not going to some faceless, bottom-line-driven Wall Street share, you know, stockbroker, right? And, you know, this is the thing that occurred to me the other day. It seems pretty simple and straightforward, but it bears repeating. What globalism means, and what does Americanism and nationalism mean? And globalism means companies are investing around the world. They're investing in China, they're investing in India, they're investing in the cheapest labor market they can find, wherever they can get what they want cheapest. What we need, economic nationalism, Americanism, we need companies to do what they did in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s even. Invest in America. Invest in our people, in our towns. Build it here, make it here, put our people to work, develop our workforce, give them the skills. I was reading this story yesterday. Wall Street Journal had a big story about Tim Cook and Apple, the CEO of Apple. Tim Cook is the man who took Apple's manufacturing to China. He took it out of the United States and he moved it to China. And he still refuses to move out of China, even after the virus, after everything else. He says, oh, you know, this is part of doing business. It's unpredictable. Things like an earthquake or a tsunami. Excuse me, this is a man-made disaster. This is the Chinese Communist Party is not unpredictable. You know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to screw you in the long term. But what he says, what I found really most chilling, is he's now made a deal with the devil. And he relies on China for his manufacturing and for his enormous profits. And China has gotten technology. They've gotten manufacturing know-how. And here's the thing, Mark will appreciate this. They got workforce development. They have developed a cadre, an army of manufacturing engineers. We're not talking about research engineers. We're not talking about people who are going to win the Nobel Prize, but people who know how to make a factory run and work. They know the shop floor logistics and everything like that to keep the lines running. And we don't have that because Tim Cook decided he would spend his money training people to do that in China.
Right.
And we need to invest in America again. And that's
you
what
know,
made in America mean.
Curtis, one of the big things that always I'm talking about with people is they say, well, you know, we have to have a 50-50 balance of things. I agree with your statements like that. I said, but you know what? The quality control in America is so good. When those medicines and all are coming here in the cartons from wherever the China and Vietnam, wherever they're making them to us, they are not, we don't know what's really, you know, their quality control is over there. Yes, they say, oh, they're perfect and all. How do we know that? When we're doing business here in America, our drug dealers, there was no reason for them to stop manufacturing in America. You know, a lady complained to me recently. She said, I want you to know, I went to an X-ray, and they couldn't give me an X-ray reading because it's now being read in India.
Right. That's right.
I said,
that's
what
right.
The hell is that for? Oh, well, they want to share the economy. Why? We have people right here in this great country who could use those jobs. And people listening right now are saying, yes, I've been through it. And by the way, when you go to a hospital, make sure you let them know that you don't like the fact, you don't want to know exactly where those pills and whatever they're giving you are made. We have to speak up. With more businesses opening and also expanding right here in the United States of America, I don't understand why even any of our presidential candidates continue to dream up one thing, ways to tax the businesses. That's all I
That's
heard
right.
from them. These candidates don't understand that America's taxpayers can't be all things to all people at someone else's expense. It sounds good, but as I said in the beginning of the broadcast, the old expression is dorobote, go to work. Work really is the way to do it. With work, you'll be able to pay into Social Security. When you retire, you at least have the Social Security. If you need health care, hopefully you can get it through your place of work, or you'll be able to get health care and be able to pay for it. There's all kinds of things. Too many people are being spoon-fed, and it's been at our expense. It's true. We live in a free market economy, and businesses really have to be watchful of their expenses so they really can compete with those products coming from overseas. My compliments to our president and his entire administration for looking over those trade deals. No one else stopped the trade deals from being reviewed over the years. They just didn't want to do it. They didn't want to upset other countries that they were looking at what they were doing. No, you have to look. Can anybody believe that they would have to have a lease for 30 years and it's always going to be going up? You have no way to renegotiate anything. You know, when they say the Chinese negotiate fuel deals, not like we do, 2 years, 3 years. They do it for 30 years so that you're on the hook to them for 30 years. This is really, they learned the best way to do it. I want to take a moment and turn to Rich Logis. Rich, how are you doing?
Michael, good morning. Curtis, happy to have you back. I hope you're doing great. I read all of your articles. I watch all your videos when you send them out to subscribers. So thank you for that. And to everyone out there, Michael, I wish them a happy day after Super Tuesday primary day. And I'm going to make a comment, Michael, about what happened last night and this morning. But if everyone will indulge me for a moment, I don't have the storytelling prowess that Larkin has, but I do want to share. I want to share a personal story with my family and tie it all into these very important topics that we talk about. So last week, Michael, I attended a carnival. I took my kids to a fair, you know, with rides and everything. And at this carnival, Michael, Curtis, Lark, and everyone, Mark, it was free admission. Imagine quotation marks around every time I say free, if you will. Free admission with free rides. Curtis, there was every ride imaginable for every age group. You had Ferris wheels. You had choo-choo trains. You had carousels. Everything you could think of, Michael, for adults and children. And you would, now, if I asked this question, since the entertainment was free, everyone must have been in a nirvanic utopia, right, Michael? Well, actually, it was quite the opposite. Let me tell you what I actually observed. What I actually observed at the free rides with the free carnival and entry, I watched parents allow kids to cut the lines, which of course were always long because, well, who doesn't love free rides? I observed parents argue with other parents, Mark, over whose child was next in line. And the reason they argued is because it's hard to keep orderly lines when the ensuing chaos sets in that results from free rides. I listened, Michael, to parents express their dismay to the operators that the ride lengths were so short, and I found it particularly humorous when some of the parents attempted to put their hands in their pockets and pay the ride operators to let their child go back around on whatever ride it was, because otherwise when the kid comes off, he's got to go back and wait on line again, which there's 1,000 people, for the free ride. I waited in line to get some food. You know, my kid likes popcorn. I went, Curtis, get some lemonade, some popcorn, hot dogs. And what did I listen to, Michael? I listened to all the people online complain about the exorbitantly high prices of food and drinks, which were undoubtedly, Curtis, significantly marked up to compensate for the free rides. And lastly, I reminded one of the parents we were with that the fare actually wasn't free. It was paid for by the taxes of the residents of the municipality. Now, Michael, forget about my ideology, what I believe, forget whom I support for president. If a free carnival, just a carnival, trivial, meaningless in the grand scheme of everything, if a free carnival, Mark, results in cutting lines, not waiting your turn, whining, sky-high price goods, what would free college and free health care look like? You see, both of them would resemble, Michael, both would resemble the carnival, except would be infinitely worse in value, without value, with outcomes so poor that they would be unprecedented in our nation's history. Free is economic policy for adults who think like children, Michael. It doesn't exist. Free invokes the absolute worst traits of the Homo sapiens species. And I've been at carnivals, guys, just recently also. I had to pay to get in. I had to buy tickets for the ride. Now, I saw the occasional idiot argumentative parents, discourteous, but the rate of it all, Michael, was far less frequent than the free carnival. And you know why that is? because everybody had a reasonable expectation of getting what they paid for. In fact, I paid a little extra to get to the front of the line. The rich get richer. What it actually is, Curtis. That's what free actually is. There's no such thing. It exists as commonplace as unicorns, shamrocks, and pots of gold at the ends of rainbows. And I want to make a comment about last night, Michael.
Please.
I have said for 2 years, now I've been slightly incorrect, to be fair, honest about this. For 2 years, I have said that Joe Biden is the DNC's and the D-Mike Democrat media industrial complex's plan A. Bloomberg's out. Biden did well last night. Sanders is done. Sanders has always been done, Curtis. You know why? Because socialists don't believe any of the bull that comes out of their mouths. Breadline Bernard Sanders, the stretch limousine liberal, is just as much a capitalist as Donald Trump is. Barack Obama is just as much a capitalist as Donald Trump is. And the reason Sanders has always been done, and the reason that Sanders knows, just like in 16, that he's not going to be the nominee, is because all he's doing is grifting, selling collectivism to a bunch of dupe-dope useful idiots who think that a free carnival is the remedy to our problems. So there's your nominee, Joseph Robinette Biden. And you know what? I want to say one last point. Michael, I have one last point. Let me, please. Let me tell you, Curtis. Bloomberg's out. Bloomberg spent $600 million. Do you guys know that $600 million is 1% of his net worth? Campaign finance reform. But only when Democrats lose, Curtis, do we want campaign finance reform. When Democrats win, we're just playing within the rules. We just outsmarted the opposition. $600 million. And let me say this, Michael, last point. Sorry for the rant. I want to tell you guys why I want Joe Biden in November. You want to know why I want Biden?
Yes.
Damn it, it's like Patton. When Patton would ride around in the open tank with the shiny silver helmet, Curtis, the enemy could see him a mile away, and his men used to ask him, General, why do you ride around in an open tank with a shiny helmet? And Patton used to step down off the Jeep. I want him to know I'm coming. You know why I want Biden? Because I'm ready, Curtis. I am ready to erect the tombstone at the grave of Obama's legacy. Bring it on. I am ready. You guys ready? Because I'm ready for it. And no one listening dare misconstrue. Don't you dare misconstrue what I am saying right now to sit on your ass on election day and not come out. Everybody's got to be in the game, Michael. Look at the numbers last night from Texas, Curtis. Hundreds of thousands of more votes were cast in the primary last night than in 16. You guys better get ready. I better get ready. The country better get ready for this long and arduous war. It is a daily war, Michael. We'll be victorious if we're united. Thank you.
God Booyah. Bless you. Oh, la, la, Rich, that was the best. Larkin, what do you have to add to that?
Somebody take the caffeine away from me.
Maybe a little Red Bull.
Right. Here's what I have to say to Rich. Rich, what happened last night? My son-in-law called me this morning. I had a money bet with him on what would happen. And what I said would happen, I hit the nail right on the head. And he said, wow, you hit a grand slam. You were right in every element. The only one I didn't think Bloomberg would drop out this morning. But obviously, as smart as he didn't get to be as rich as he is throwing $600 million out the window when he has not a snowball's chance in hell. He'd rather take that money and influence congressional and senatorial elections. But Rich, you and I are going to have a blast all summer and through the fall, because I'm here to tell you that if Donald Trump does not change now, this very second, he is going to lose worse than Mondale did. He is going to get his ass kicked so bad, he won't even know what came. I'm telling you that. If Joe Biden stands up and says to the electorate, and listen, this all is predicated on Joe Biden not stepping on his own Richard. Last night he called his wife his sister and his sister his wife. But if somebody keeps the matches out of his hand, and they just keep them up front, what Trump is doing now isn't selling. I got news for you. I am sorry, it is not selling. And his crowd,
what is it that's not selling? Be specific, please.
Be specific. The vitriolic, name calling, refusal to work with the opposition. But the third point. Listen, don't misconstrue this as my political desires or wishes. This is my political punditry after 20, 30, or 40, whatever years of poll sitting and watching elections and being the campaign manager twice. I'm telling you that what 1 in 16 will not win in 20. Sorry. I don't care how good the economy is. I really don't. He has got to change. He cannot continue to be the guy that calls a mini mic to a legitimate person running for president. It is not going to work. He is playing to a crowd almost as small as the crowd and almost as characteristically specific as the crowd that Bernie has ran against. And it just runs out. It just loses its gas. And people all of a sudden say, my wife is a die-in-the-wool Republican. She always has been. I mean, it might be why I married her. She wouldn't vote for Trump this time around if I paid her. She said, I'm done with it. I'm done with the cadence in Washington, D.C. I'm done with the arguing. The third or fourth point that Biden made yesterday was, there is no reason in the world why I, as president, cannot get the Democrats and the Republicans back together and let's start governing this country instead of being mortal enemies. I'm telling you, that's going to win the election. That is going to win it. Period. Amen. You can say whatever you want to say. Rich, you can take that to the bank and we can argue this. I think you all know how I'm going to vote. There's no question about that, because this is an important, this Democratic machine that Rich calls it all the time. I don't buy that. I know that if Biden wins, it's going to be four more years of nothing. It's going to be more spending. It's going to be all of the wrong things, all more social programs. It's going to be all the wrong things. I know that. But I'm telling you, the temperament of the American voter is being challenged right now. And what Rich says is 100% true. If the Republicans don't get off their butts and make sure they go to the polls, then it's going to be a Mondale-type loss. He won't win a state. I'm serious as a heart attack, and I know you all think I've lost my mind, but I said 7 months ago that Bernie Sanders would not be anywhere near the finish line by the time we got to November. And he's not. He's not even going to – he's going to have to struggle to get good press now. We all know that, because nobody wants that garbage. Nobody but a bunch of 21-year-olds. It's just – it doesn't sell. And I sit around the table with all the guys that are going through rehab, cardiac rehab with me, and they all go, can somebody just take the damn phone out of his hand so he'll stop tweeting these idiotic tweets? Everybody has his vision of him sitting on the end of his bed sending out these idiotic tweets.
Well, Larkin, Larkin, you'll be put on the record. I myself agree in this case. I would like to see from this day forward, all that we talk about is get America even stronger than we've made it before. That's it. You know, Larkin, you said something a while ago, and Mark and all of us agreed. There's something we have to do in the United States, and that's expand the supply chains of goods that are needed and purchased by the American people. Just what Curtis said earlier, the drugs are coming from overseas, from China and other places. Why? Why? Well, those are the kinds of questions I would like to have addressed in the campaign. I'm not interested in about Biden or any of these other people. I want to know what are we going to do to make America even better than it's been in the last few years.
Because the senior management of all these drug companies has a fiduciary responsibility to get a return for the stockholders. Period. Amen. That's their job. That's what they're supposed to be doing. And so somewhere along the line, we've got to fix that. That listen, the fact that that pill costs 3 cents coming out of China when it costs 8 cents in America is only half the problem. The other half is we've got the highest corporate taxes in the world. Now Trump tried.
Well, President Trump fixed that.
Yeah, well, he didn't fix it. He didn't fix it, but he did. He went miles to make it better. No question of that. But it's going to last 4 years if he doesn't win. Not eight.
Yeah, you know, I see that point. I myself, Larkin, I understand because people tell me on both sides of the fence, those who are one type of thinking only think one way. The others are open-minded. The most people have in their minds is, what is it going to be like 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Am I going to still be bilked by these elected leaders, or are they going to get together and do something that's going to benefit me as a small business owner, or the small business where my son or daughter works, and bring down the cost of college tuition? You know, 10 years ago, maybe more, 12 years ago, when they were arguing about the cost of college, I made a suggestion that we should make college 1% interest, not 5%, 6%. It's like a new mortgage. You go into college and you're paying off this mortgage for 10, 15, 20 years, unless you had some money saved in advance or your parents helped you out. This is not what America is supposed to be all about. As soon as you graduate, you have the cross on your shoulder and you have to drag it until it's paid off. And if these people that were discussing things on the stage, they discouraged a lot of people also because all they did is talked about how they're going to tax more and give more away to people that want it. Of course we would want everything for free, but that's not the way things work that last for a long time. Remember the old statement, what government giveth, government can take away as no longer affordable. That's what's been happening now in the last 3.5 years. Government gave too many regulations just to appease people here and there, and government put on too many taxes. And for what reason did those taxes go to what particular source? When our national debt continues to rise every second? Oh, no. It's been too much. We need really a cheerleader. Remember, Larkin, my suggestion a few years ago, America needs a cheerleader. We need somebody who's not afraid to speak. A lot of the things that are said, you and I would maybe say it differently, but they need to be said, however they're said. No taxes are going to help businesses come back and remain here in the United States of America. No taxes, no more regulations are going to make people want to you know, build the supply chain of goods right here in the USA. They'll continue to do business as they've been doing in the last 25, 30 years and bring it over here and have all that manpower and all that rent and heat and electricity and taxes reduced. Just bring it to the port, take it to the store, sell it to the American consumer. That has got to stop. And by the way, all of that has been very bad for our national security. We're seeing that in the last couple of weeks when all the shipments stopped coming from China. Look how many car parts are no longer available. Cell phones are not able to be repaired. How did it get to the point that 50% of those cell phone parts are not made in America?
Well,
how did it get to the part where we don't have our own supply? You know, it doesn't make sense. Mark Andel, I need to turn to you. What did you think of our conversation today?
God.
And what did you think of what happened yesterday?
I think you sent out Red Bull to everybody, and I didn't get mine. But we're I love it all, but I want to go through our whole panel. Mike, you started with Made in America, Why It Matters, like you always do. And then Curtis, you know, hats off. I'm going to put this show on our site because, Curtis, you nailed it with not only businesses going overseas, all the everything else that goes with it, you know, the production lines, and it helps everybody every way of business here. But going overseas, you lose the whole stream, you know, the spider web effect of going overseas and losing all that potential gain that helps everybody from a hairstylist to the accountant to everybody. And Curtis, it's our 10-year anniversary, guys, with the Made in America store. 10 years this April 3rd. We're celebrating May 16th on Armed Forces Day. You're all invited. May 16th, save the date. It's a big day. We're going to hit 10,000 products this year. That's our goal. We support over 500 privately owned American businesses. Honor Flight's our home base. We got a flight of heroes leaving May 16th, the day we have our event. So 50 heroes goes to Washington. A lot of local businesses in Buffalo help that happen, and you know, it takes 110 people to get 50 people down to Washington to see their memorials. So our brand is there. Everything you talked about, Curtis, on your part, is what we're about. And I want to bring that up because we, you know, 10 years we've been doing this, and lately I picked on people that shop at Corona Mart on my other show. Got a little feedback from that, and I called Walmart Corona Mart. But you know, that worked really well. Rich, you'd like that. You know, I'm hearing things, Mike, you've been doing this for 20 years. I've been doing it 10 plus. I'm hearing things now like, why don't we make more here? We should never buy products from overseas. We could get, I'm hearing things, I'm thinking, even my father this morning, I'm like, Dad, I've been doing this 10 years. You know, that's what we've been talking about. China's a long drive to work. Everything we talk about, but there's so many things going on, making things in America not as only cool, but earning and learning, Larkin. We talk about everything, our brand, supporting our veterans, supporting skilled trades, working with your hands. We're all about blue-collar, middle-class America. And, you know, I just want to say, Curtis, hats off for your whole talk today on that, particularly our supply chains. Everything got hurt and diminished because everything went overseas, but now we're bringing it back. The movement, you know, we jump-started it 10 years ago. World News called me, hey, do people really like that? On our show this week, we talked about the interviews and the funny things with the first bus getting stopped on bushes in front of the old store 10 years ago, and they brought a bus from Iowa. And they said, wow, we're from the breadbasket of America, Mark. We love what you're doing. I never knew what the bus was, you know, that held 56 people. We're going to hit our 1,000th bus, guys, this year. So a lot going on with the Made in America movement. It's alive and well. It is a movement. And I just want to, you know, say we're strategically looking at the Made in America stores because malls aren't doing so well in America. Malls are dying out. The brick and mortars are dying out, and it's for a lot of reasons. We just had a big meeting with our team, and we're 10 years into this. We got the award for the largest Made in America retail store in the United States of America from Don Buckner, and he's got the second show coming up. That's a big statement. We're the largest Made in America store. Unfortunately, there aren't any more, really, right? But we talked about where we're going because the brick and mortars are dying out, and they're dying out because people have changed how they shop. Amazon killing us, and just online shopping.
and people don't want to go into mall to go to the Made in America store that's in the center of the mall. They might want to pull back up the strip malls. So we're researching strip malls. Larkin, we're coming down by you. I'm visiting villages in Tampa. Just to give you a heads up, I'll be seeing you shortly. But people have changed. Your shopping ways have changed. A lot of things have happened. A lot of people went overseas. We lost our manufacturing. But the way people shop, we're looking at, the way the young person shops. They might go to our store in the beginning, but once they find out our brand, they're going to go back to their mobile phone and order because they believe in a brand, but they shop online. So we're looking at all different things. But people are changing. They're going back to strip malls, we believe, which is pretty interesting, too.
You are so right, Mark. People want to see it, and then once they get it, they want to reorder it.
Very hard, Mike, for us to plan our strategies here after 10 years. But, Larkin, Curtis, I just want to talk, compliment you on your day today. Rich, you're fired up. You said a lot of great things. I love, I know a lot of Kearneys from being in the fair, Erie County Fair every year, and Doug Dills is down by you and all my good friends. They're very, very smart people. But that was great. Free doesn't work. My father at 83 does love free, but free doesn't work. great stuff. And Larkin, I think a lot of people, even the owner of the other radio show I'm on, he's really concerned if Trump or anybody, the Trumpers sit back, it's not a guaranteed win. And I think that's what you're touching on. I do thank Donald Trump, our president, because we are very busy at General Welding. I'm very happy. I talked to business owners. We're not really looked at. We're only one vote, so they really don't care about us as much because they don't know what it takes to run a business. But Donald Trump has kept me in business, so I'd like to thank him personally for that. Curtis, if you ever see that, let him know. But we are very busy in that. I want somebody to carry a torch. They're more worried about beating Donald Trump than any issue that we really need. And I'd like to see skilled trades talked about because I cannot find a worker at all.
Well, you know,
They've made Donald Trump the objective of this election. And that happens a lot of times, but they're doing it with exaggerations of certain situations. I read his tweets. I personally read his tweets every morning. I get up and that's one of the first things I see, what he's tweeted out the night before. And Nancy Pelosi, I read her tweets. I read all the just see where their heads are. I'm a complete and total supporter of what Donald Trump, his vision of America. I am completely behind this man. And he will get my vote, and he will get my support, and it will probably be the first time in a good 8 to 10 years that I've gotten off of my retired duff and gone out and done some work in the field to get him elected. But it's going to be an enormous uphill battle if he doesn't make a style change. Just a little one, not a big one, just a little bit of a style change. And he's gonna face Biden on the debate stage, and it's not gonna sell. It's not gonna sell. It sold because Hillary reacted and tried to fight him on his ring and his territory. So Biden's not gonna make that. I don't think so. At least he said the other night he wasn't gonna make that mistake. So I don't know. I think this is going to be a challenge.
Larkin, what you're saying is that it's time to highlight all the accomplishments of the last few years.
I think, Mike, the backdrop should be his report card of the debate.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Because
Trump should run with the report card right behind him.
Every person... Yes, Larkin.
I don't
yes,
disagree
Curtis.
With Larkin. I don't disagree with Larkin that this is going to be a very, very hard fight. Here at America First Policies, we are focusing on registering voters, registering new voters, the Trump supporters. We have identified people who, individual people, real human beings, flesh and blood, two arms, two legs, in some cases, two arms, two legs, most cases, and who support President Trump, who are not even registered to vote.
Well, you're right, Curtis, and this is why I'm pleading, because people can register so easily now. All they have to do is go on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and the link is right there. Click on it. put your zip code in, and it'll take you right to your election board. You sign in your vote. You're registered to vote. Many people wait till the last minute, and they're told they can't get in there. It's not possible because you have to have 30 days before the election. I'm pleading with people.
So
go
I would
there
say,
and do it now.
And I'd say to Rich and to Mark and to anybody who has a website, put a register to vote button on your website.
There you go.
And we need to get everybody registered. There's 10 to 20% of the people that go to Trump rallies are not registered to vote. Is that incredible?
Yeah.
Now, the campaign is it's just astounding. When I heard that, I said, you're kidding me. These people are motivated to stand in line 12 hours in the freezing cold, but they're not even registered to vote for the guy. They're waiting to see. But it's true. The need to mobilize our supporters is cannot be overestimated. We need to do it, and we need to do it more and more and more, because yes, the other side is motivated and they will come out, and there is a degree, psychologically speaking, I hear what Larkin's saying about exhaustion. The media is playing that up. Try to get people, I'm just tired of the arguing, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of that. Joe Biden and the Democrats saying they're going to bring the nation together and end the bickering, that is like the arsonist calling the fire department. I mean, they have been relentless in attacking President Trump, refusing to work with him on anything. If he found the fountain of youth, they would attack him for destroying the nursing home industry. I mean, they have just been relentless. And now they're saying, oh, we're going to bring the country together. Well, thank you. I'll tell you how to bring the country together. Go to sleep. Just stop screaming and doing what you're doing. But that's politics. That's the way the game is played. I get it. I'm not going to whine about it. And we hear in our focus groups that we do, people are tired. They don't like his personality. They don't like his tweets. But they support his policies. But we can't be complacent on that. And the other thing is I get the exhaustion factor. The other thing is psychologically is people take things for granted. Okay, the economy's good.
Right.
It's great, right? Whatever it is. It's great, it's good. I've got a job. I like my job. I can get a better job. I got a pay raise, and that's all good. That's just the way of nature, right? The sun comes up in the east. So, you know, they take the good stuff for granted and say, well, let's just get rid of those rough edges, that guy that's out there, you know, with the tweeter machine. And I'm tired of hearing everybody from the late night comics to the morning show Happy Talk people complaining about this guy all the time. So maybe it is time for a change. And the economy will take care of itself. That's just the way things are. So people have a way of discounting what's good, just taking it for granted, and then not realizing that what Joe Biden, there are no moderates in the Democratic Party. This is where I would differ slightly in a nuanced way with what Rich was saying. Bernie Sanders is the express train to socialism. Joe Biden and the rest of this crowd, even Mike Bloomberg, is the local train. They're going to get you there. Just take a little longer, but they're going to get you there. And what I want to reemphasize, again, I've said this before on the show, is Wall Street likes socialism. Wall Street wants to combine everything. They want to buy up, merge, get rid of the small business, get rid of the kulaks, get rid of the people that own their own business, own their own farm, make it one big corporate farm, make it one big chain store, get rid of the independent retailers, one big chain store.
They've been doing a very good job, and as have we.
For 100 years, they've been doing a good job on this. They had a little setback after World War II, but they've been doing a darn good job, especially in the last 20, 30 years. And then when it's one big store, one big company that owns everything, they work hand in glove with the government. And then it's one monopoly.
I want to say thank you for tuning in today. It's been a wonderful broadcast. We'll have a broadcast up for you on American Workers later. today, please do tune in, send it out to family and friends. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, stay well and be happy.
The preceding program, the Polish American Radio Show, was brought to you by Polish American Radio.